Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And if it is the fourth Monday of every month, it must be the Boss and the Ballerina Leapfrog Forums. It's exciting. Tom and Caroline, how are you?
We're doing wonderful, Dave.
I didn't know which one was going to. I know you were fighting over the mic, and
we've been practicing on who speaks first, and you know that Caroline usually does, but.
Well, yeah, because you're married. Am I right?
No.
You are right.
Oh, see? He denies it. You accept it.
Okay.
I know.
Well, I'm red-faced, but this is radio, so nobody can see that.
No, we are on Ustream.tv or BreakRadioShow.com. Smile into the camera.
All righty.
So, this is a great show today. You've had some amazing shows. Let's go over the background first. Caroline Atkinson, Ballet Academy of Arizona. You got a lot of stuff going on. And, of course, Tom, your great husband, who denies it still, I think we have proof. I think we could do a DNA test. Or we could do a marriage license test. I don't know. Tom's giving a certain gesture, keep moving along. Anyway, so let's talk about the Ballet Academy of Arizona. Caroline, what's going on?
We have such exciting things going on at the moment, Dave. On Sunday, the 25th of September, we have our Fairy Godmother's Tea Party at the Phoenician Resort. We are very excited. It's from 3 to 5 in the afternoon. And then our next exciting event is our Cinderella production on October 8th. That's at the Herberger.
That's right. So,
yes.
So October 8th. And that's why don't you describe that? Because last time you did, and for any new listeners, to talk about why this production of Cinderella is so unique.
It is. What is so unique about our Cinderella production is that we are combining special needs children and typical children together in our cast. And we have a cast of about 100 children now, and 60 of them are special needs. And about 40 are typical. And it's become an incredible community. The children are amazing. The parents are incredible. And everything is just really working very well together.
You have such a heart for helping people, especially kids. Your compassion just is like off the charts. Tom, why don't you talk about that?
Oh, I don't know where to begin. But what I don't want to forget right now is, because a lot of them are going to be listening to all of us today, and I want to give a shout out to all the kids, all the moms, all the dads, everybody that's been coming to the practices, having a lot of fun. It's starting to come together now. It's, you know, I don't know how you get to magical, but we're getting there. And as a matter of fact, I even have Cinderella in the radio booth here with his taking video. And I don't, you know, again, it's just magical how this kind of thing works. But again, just a shout out. It's all about love and bringing everybody that's together, and couldn't be happier with it. As far as Caroline goes, you know, everybody keeps coming up and saying, isn't she the greatest, and isn't, you know, is she wonderful how she's doing all the choreography and coordinating the music, and all that's true, but boy, she's got some team players.
Yeah.
That I'm sure she's going to mention. I just jumped in a little bit here. That this whole community that we're all building, this collaboration that's much needed, is about people helping people and sharing and bringing together and all that. And it's amazing what's going on.
And it's just a wonderful experience. And we have three great moms in studio to talk about this. I believe their kids are in this production, Cinderella. Is that correct?
Yes, they are.
And you're saying the young lady to my left who's taping the show is Cinderella?
She is.
Why don't we get her to say hello or something?
Because come on in, Claire.
She's got to be the star, one of the stars of the show.
She is an amazing part of our show.
And her name's Claire,
incredible.
Right? Claire, you're Cinderella.
Yes, I am.
How excited are you?
I'm very excited.
And is it have you ever done acting before?
I have not.
No? So this is a first-time experience for you.
Yes.
And what is it so far that you enjoy most?
I love working with the kids.
That's got to be rewarding, right?
Yes.
And what's some of the memorable experiences thus far in the production? I'm sure you've had some rehearsals or you're getting set to go on this.
Yep.
So how are rehearsals?
They're amazing because we're working with all these kids who haven't had the chance to dance before. And so it's just so beautiful to watch them blossom and get to have their chance.
Wow. How old are you?
I'm 14.
Man, is she amazing for 14?
She is.
And this is improvised because you didn't know you're going to be on the air. I didn't even know you're going to be in the air. I just turned my left when they said you're Cinderella. I was looking for a glass slipper. Is that the one? Is that the?
That's the one. Yes.
Oh, good. See, I know my
exactly.
But oh well, Claire. And so, tell us about. I'm always amazed, and I always love to hear about wonderful people. And of course, the boss and the ballerina are wonderful people. Tom is now filming it. He's a great guy. I've known him a long time. I'll call him an old friend. Okay. And of course, Caroline, I don't know you as well. However, I've known you for several months, and I could tell your compassion is just amazing. So, Claire, tell us about some of the amazing things about Caroline. I'm embarrassing Caroline. How did that happen?
Well, I'm sure it's really hard to get all these kids to come together and make this amazing production, but she always does it. And she just, everyone obeys her and listens to her, and she's just beautiful with them.
Wow.
Oh, thank you.
What a nice, obey. I got the word obey. Tom, is that true? Okay. Anyway, he's the husband. I said I wouldn't say that. But anyway, thank you so much, Claire. And I'm going to be there October 8th.
Yes,
I think
yes.
What are the times again?
At 2 o'clock and at 5 o'clock. We have two shows, Dave.
So 2 and 5.
And 5, yeah. Exactly.
And tickets probably go fairly quickly. So how do they get tickets? And we'll mention again at the end of the show.
Yeah. You can go to the Herberger website, and you can get tickets either through the box office at the Herberger Theater, or you can buy them online.
And you did this last year? Or a similar one?
Yes, we did Cinderella last year at the Stagebrush Theater in Scottsdale.
Oh.
But this time we're at the Herberger, and we just did our Peter Pan production at the Herberger in May.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's
of.
Right, exactly.
Wow, that's a nice theater,
isn't it? It's a
great
theater. Oh, it's a wonderful theater.
And you'll probably get a big crowd, I
guess.
Yes,
I think we're going to sell out.
So I think people better get their tickets now. So again, go to the website of Herberger?
Exactly, yes. Yes.
And what is that,
Herberger? They go to theherbergertheater.com.
Okay.
And if they go down to Cinderella, they can go straight onto our shows. Yeah,
oh, that is
tickets.
So cool. This is going to be a great production. How long does it usually last?
Like it'll last about an hour and a half.
Nice.
Yes.
Wow, so Claire, you're going to be acting for an hour and a half as she has a film on me. I guess I'm acting now. Is there a part for me, maybe?
Well, no, we actually...
No, he says. Okay, I'll accept that as a no.
Not this year,
Dave.
You don't
need another rat?
Yeah.
Yes, we need another rat.
You know, okay.
They have the mice, the rats, or whatever.
So I won't be acting, you're saying. Okay.
It'll come natural to you.
That's what I'm thinking. Wow. Now, you were in it last year, Tom, right?
Yeah, hey, I do whatever I'm told to do.
Yeah,
I know, obey was the key word.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, I love it. I'm so, you know, I lose sleep over this thing. It's great.
It is.
I'm the king.
You're the king?
Yeah, I get to work a lot with Carol's kids, and yeah,
there's a
you
king.
Know,
you're the king in Cinderella?
Yes.
Wow. Nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because Charming, Prince Charming is the king's son.
Well, can I be your son?
No.
No, I could be.
Well, I don't think so. Hello.
All right. Well, enough of this.
Yeah, let's.
We're having too much fun here. So, okay. So, Caroline, let's talk a little bit with the three great guests that you have
yes.
in studio. Why don't you introduce them? Because you do it so well.
Thank you so much.
All right, I'll introduce two out of three of them.
Exactly.
Okay. The first one to my right, Carol Schrader, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. And this is great. You have some kids in the production as well?
I do. I have 4 children in the production. Cinderella is mine, as well as the narrator, Mason, who is the Duke. And then Benjamin is Gus Gus, one of the mice. And then my littlest ballerina is a pumpkin, a mouse, and the midnight clock.
Oh, wow. And we had Mason on the show last time. He was fantastic, by the way.
Thank you.
We got lots of feedback, positive feedback on Mason. That was great. So this is exciting. And our second mom, you'll have to, move the mic over. Susie Richardson, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
You're more than welcome. How do you like the show so far?
I love it. It's fun.
Are we having fun?
And I like fun.
This is a lot of fun. And it's such a worthwhile cause
It's a fantastic cause.
Now, you have 3 kids.
I have 3 kids. My twins are in the ballet. I have identical twins who are girls at the ball and in the summer scene. And they'll be dancing for the first time.
Excellent. How nice is that? So, and then... okay, Caroline, let's introduce mystery guest number 3.
Our wonderful mom number 3 is Kathy Suskevich.
That's what I was going to say. But anyway, that's Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay, that is good. Now, you have, a bunch of kids. So tell us about your kids and who's in the production.
Well, I have 5. The first 4 are Tom, Nick, Annalisa, and Katie. And they are 27, 26, 22, and 19.
You look way too young to have kids that old.
If you could tell me that in 10 years, we're good.
Wow, I'm impressed, Tom, right?
Yeah, incredible.
Wow, how do you remain so youthful looking?
Well, it's my husband. Next year, we'll be married 30 years.
Really? Wow, you really look young.
And we've made a pact not to...
Yes.
No, just not to kill each other and
raise
the kids, get it done. You know, we're just on the same track. And
any advice you can give Caroline and Tom? They're sort of newlywed in a way.
I do have advice. I'll share it with you later.
There you go. Good answer.
It's tricky. It's tricky. Yeah.
Oh, it's tricky. You're smiling, so okay. All right, so you have
for all you ladies out there, Dave is not married.
Thank you so much. So this is a paid political announcement. How much do I owe you, Tom?
Yeah, we'll talk later.
They're lining up now.
And, of course, the number is 602-296-3632.
Yeah. So,
but I won't
give
that.
It's on the air or off the air.
Yeah, exactly. So you have some kids in the production, too.
I have 1, and that's our youngest, Addie. She's 10.
Nice. Very good. And... Mm-hmm. And all 3 of you moms have seen the progress of production, I guess pre-production and rehearsals. Tell us how that goes for what you've observed. Let's start with Carol.
Well, I think that it's been fun to watch. It's been fun to see children who, like Susie's girls, who've never had a chance to dance, to be so thrilled to be able to be in this ballet with Caroline. But to watch from the beginning, the early weeks we were just excited to be there and excited to be wearing ballet slippers, to actually getting it and the choreography becoming together so beautifully. I think Mason made an observation on the show that he did with you that Miss Caroline has superhuman abilities, and I think that anybody who watches the rehearsals and sees the progression and the beauty that she is bringing out of this 100 member cast would agree with Mason.
100 members in the cast? Mm-hmm. Caroline, let's go back to you immediately. How do you do that?
It's been amazing, Dave. We start off rehearsing in smaller groups, and then last Saturday we had our whole cast together, and we did our first rehearsals all together. And it was fabulous. It was so much fun. The children were there for about 4.5 hours. And Kathy very, very kindly brought pizza for everybody, pizza and breadsticks and water. And we stopped halfway and had a great time.
That is so
nice.
It is
fun.
It sounds like fun. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with the boss and the ballerina and our special guests. And we'll be right back.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is The Boss and the Ballerina every fourth Monday of the month. And I'm so excited because it's really an honor and pleasure, Caroline and Tom, to have you as part of Breakthrough Thinking because you give so much to people. You uplift people's lives. You enhance the quality. And you show the possibilities of hope and really pave the way for others to succeed.
Yeah, and it's incredible. Again, you know, Caroline's the leader, the champion. You know, we all are amazed at what she, how she's able to do it and how she does it. And we were just talking when we were on commercial there. People were asking me about what I think. I have no idea. I'd like to turn it over to you guys and tell us what you think about the interaction between Caroline and the kids and
Let's start with Kathy, because off there you were mentioning at the break the word obey came in, but you had a deeper, profound meaning. A label can mean many things, but why don't you describe what it means to you, what you've observed about obeying in the context with how Caroline interacts with children?
Yeah, it's it seems to me from where I've stood at rehearsals, watching them practice and watching them take direction, and I think everybody appreciates that Caroline has the creative brain behind all of this. And but you also, if you look really closely, you see that some of these children who probably may have a hard time controlling their impulses ordinarily really aren't obeying her as much as they're just bouncing back the energy that she's emitting, which is patience and trust that they're going to do it correctly. There's one scene where the boys, and some of them are the size of, you know, Tom, they're a grown man, and they have to gallop around a circle of girls in the middle. And so at least three of the girls are in wheelchairs. My daughter is one of them in a wheelchair, so she doesn't have control of her chair. And if one of those boys was galloping off their cued spot, she wouldn't be able to move out of the way. But these boys are able to gallop at a rapid rate without hitting anything.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. And Caroline trusts them to do that. And so what bounces back to the group, to the whole cast, is that they're able to do that without anybody getting hurt.
So what you're saying, it bounces back the inner qualities that Caroline has, and it comes back to her. And that's sort of how life is that what you put out, you get back.
She believes that they're going to do it well and that they're going to do it to the best of their ability, and they, that's exactly what they give her.
Now
it's
I think we should mention, Caroline, when, you know, Kathy, you mentioned about controlling impulses. And I'm not sure we set the frame completely about the maybe some of the why you said they're special needs. You want to describe the kids what why they have special needs?
Yes. But do some of your moms want to?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, there's a variety of a lot of different things going on there. The UCP kids have cerebral palsy, which is muscle control, and as well as many other behavioral type things. My children have what's called sensory neuropathy, and their central nervous system is frayed at the end, so any of the five senses are not there. They have no feeling at all. So the fact that they're dancing is a miracle. The fact that they're walking is a miracle. They don't process information from their brain to their body correctly. Mm-hmm. So the fact that somebody is opened the door to let them try in their own way without a right or wrong is phenomenal. It's phenomenal for their self-esteem. Sorry. It's phenomenal for my self-esteem, and it's just a wonderful thing. It's and for all of these different mental and physical things to come together, the children are so accepting of each other and so willing to work with each other because it's a setting where everything you do is right. And however you think or move, it's right. It's just it's the piece we've all been missing for our children for their entire lives.
Kathy, did you have a comment on that? Or
ditto.
Oh, ditto. Okay. Now, how about Carol? You wanted to...
Well, I was just going to say, I think Caroline has... Her gift is that she absolutely believes the best. So that's what's bouncing back. She believes they can do it. And so you're seeing children rise to that occasion. I know that we have children who have some severe emotional scars and that affect their impulse control. And I've watched through three productions now as these children, because Caroline believes they can, have controlled everything. They've performed beautifully on this big stage in front of these large crowds. And so parents and physical therapists and occupational therapists are seeing the difference that Caroline's belief in these children can cause in their lives. It is a gift. I have to say to Susie that I just said to my husband the other day that we think we're doing this, that Caroline believes she's helping these children, but I believe the number one group she's helping is the parents. Because she is restoring our dreams. She's showing us and the world that these kiddos are amazing.
They are amazing.
And that we do not have to grieve what they can't do. Because of Caroline, we're getting to see what they absolutely can. That the world has probably and has, for me, and I'm sure for you moms, told us they couldn't do. And Caroline has said, no, absolutely, that's wrong. And this is what they can do, and let me show you. So she is so ministering to the hearts of parents as she's serving these beautiful children and coming up with this amazing production that's going to entertain the Herberger Theater, every single member of that audience. But the levels with which she is meeting our needs is more than I can even verbalize.
See, that's incredible. And, you know, as a NLP practitioner, I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's a study of human excellence. And what I'm really impressed about is what you're all saying about Caroline, is the power of beliefs, how under many circumstances, whether someone has a disability or not, and that's sort of culturally defined often. And I think that's what I'm hearing you say, that if it's culturally defined, everyone sort of taps into it. They start to believe it. It limits what they think is possible. And then Caroline comes along and says, wait a minute, there's more to life than this. There's great possibilities for those that you didn't think had possibilities. And this can apply to people where I think you call them typical kids, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of people have limiting, in fact, most of the world has limiting beliefs, and it's really, they're not even close to their full potential. So I'm really impressed with that. So the question I have, let's start with the moms, is how is this belief, I mean, well, let's remember back prior to when you met Caroline. What was that, about 2-3 years ago? So prior to life before that, How is it different? Contrast it now from a hope standpoint, from a belief standpoint, from just a future standpoint. How is it different? Let's start with Carol.
You know, I was just home in my hometown of Mississippi this past week, and I stumbled across some emails that I had sent early in the diagnosis of my boys. And my boys have cerebral palsy, so we have very real physical inabilities. I have one son who uses a wheelchair and another son who uses crutches to ambulate and to move around. And one of the things I found was an email from myself pouring out my heart to my mother about the possibility of a wheelchair and what that world would look like for us and how absolutely I was running from that world. I even said in one point in the email that I was typing it because I could not verbalize it to her. I couldn't say it out loud that this child would need a wheelchair. So fast forward, and now my boys are 14, and I see the beauty in them. They have many gifts that they can give, but I still would have said being part of a dance production would have been something we were limited and could not do. And I know that we have many children that would say the same thing before we met Caroline. What she showed us is that we can move gracefully. We can move. And what so many see as ugly in these wheelchairs or the crutches or as an enabling tool, right, that makes us weak, they're a strength. And when my boys roll onto stage, people are looking at them and going to see the power of who they are. And that's because Caroline gave them an opportunity to do that. So, yet it has changed my perception. I want it to change everyone's perception.
Mm-hmm. Like the culture. That would be really nice. Susie, same question.
As a matter of fact, how I see it is Caroline has confirmed what I've been fighting for 23 years with my girls, because they are 23. And maybe after, she's confirmed what I knew already, but I couldn't get them there because nobody else opened that door. And maybe from this, the people that have been slamming these doors in our face for all these years will now open them as well, because they will see that somebody else sees it that isn't one of us moms who constantly, quote, are in denial of what our children are, even though we see it. And this is a fantastic door opening for us and for the rest of the community, the world, the people, to see that, no, just because they don't look like your family, they have it, and they need the opportunity to show it in their way.
You know, what you're saying is, no, go ahead, Carol.
I just want to jump in on that and say, absolutely. And just like I said, I told my husband the parents were the first group being served. The second group being served by this is everyone else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think the children with special needs are absolutely at the bottom of who's getting the benefit. Not that they're not getting wonderful benefit. Please don't think that. But it's absolutely the education level for the typical children, for the parents who have not walked this road, mm-hmm. for the audience who has had these preconceived notions that Susie's referring to and have possibly slammed doors in these children's faces before. I think that's the second level of education happening with this ballet.
I agree. And actually, Mason, your son, was sitting in that seat over there, and I made a comment and said, you know, during these practices, there's a blur between who's the teacher mm-hmm. and who's the
mm-hmm.
student.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the camera just was on him, and you should have seen, talk about NLP, you should have seen him light up inside. And it was like, and, you know, I love Mason, it was like, hey, you guys are finally getting it. You know,
exactly.
You're finally seeing what we are inside, and I think that's what we're saying about everybody. And she doesn't see it, and it's causing me, I don't see it anymore. And it's like one of our favorite songs is I Hope You Dance.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a great song.
It's fabulous. But it's about all of us, and it's part of the focus of this new children's performing arts model that Caroline has. It's I Hope You Dance. Dance in here. This starts it all
mm-hmm.
for all of us. And I think the kids are all dancing, and we're all being re-energized. Typical, special, or whatever, but it, you know, let's all dance inside, and it brings tears to our eyes when we even, you know, think like that.
And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with the boss and the ballerina and the three great moms that are really give the gift of so many things to their kids, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is The Boss and the Ballerina every fourth Monday of the month. And here they are, The Boss, played by Tom Bosmeyer, and the Ballerina, played by the lovely Caroline Atkinson.
What do you mean, played by? What are we, incognito here?
Yeah, you got sunglasses on. And it's indoors. Anyway, this is very heartfelt. And a couple notes I was taking as all the moms were talking. One was the kids are a gift to the world, and that's really I think what Carol was really expressing. I think all three of you were, which is great, because sometimes you get so immersed with cultural beliefs, you don't. It's hard to see sometimes, and you're opening up great possibilities. The other thing is the power of beliefs, and I'll go back to this because there's a guy named Roger Bailey. Who's heard of Roger Bailey? Anybody?
Third base for the Phillies?
Absolutely not. But anyway, Tom, go to your room. So what happened is Roger Bailey was a runner. He ran the mile, and he was the first one to run the mile under 4 minutes. No one thought it was possible. The culture didn't think it was possible. These great sports athletes never thought it was possible. He thought it was possible. Guess what happened? He broke the four-minute mile, under 4 minutes. That very same year he broke it, 37 other people broke it. That shows you can set the pace that of what's possible. People will say, wow, I never thought that was possible. It just shows your own limitations are really the key to how far you go, and work above your own limitations and the world comes to life.
Yeah, I'd like to build on what you just said. We were having a meeting and I think, Susie, you brought it up about jumping through hoops, that you jump through a lot of hoops, and your girls are, what, 22 now?
23.
And what I know, I'm a business leader. I teach executives, CEOs, how to transform and change. I learned so much by that conversation you may not even remember. It was a short conversation, but what I took away from it was, give me a challenge. I don't even blink to address it. It's just part of who I am, what I do, what I need to do as a mom. I'm good. I am this. You know, I don't have to be the basketball star. And I thought to myself, in this economy in Phoenix, Arizona right now, after 4 years of economic devastation, there's a lot of people that may even hear what I'm saying right now, but it's a shout out to you, because I talk about it all the time. I mean, you gals, that you parents and everybody, what you've done are champions.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stop right there. But inspirational, that's what that was to me.
Oh, thank you.
No question about it. And on the break, Kathy, you were talking about everyone's life has a purpose. And, you know, when did that resonate most with you?
The day the pediatrician at the NICU discharged us and said, well, she's really not going to walk or talk, But it's a good thing she's cute.
Wow. Really?
And yeah, this was Children's Hospital in D.C. And I spent the next 4 or 5 years schlepping up to Shriners in Philadelphia on a regular basis, looking for hope. I was looking for hope. I was looking for something that would make a difference. And we all, I think when you get that kind of diagnosis, you walk away, you sort of shake your head and you gather your wits, you pick up your sticks and you do the best you can. And so for 10 years now, we've sort of done the best we can. We use the resources we have. We try and network with people that seem to understand what's going on. And that pays off. But then occasionally, something like this comes along. And what you don't expect is our physical therapist does care for Addie in home. Her name is Tammy Hirasawa. Mm-hmm. And she said to me, "Have you thought about dance for Addie?" Well, no, I haven't. I mean, we dance around the living room. You know, but I hadn't. I really hadn't. And she said, "Well, here's this library book." And she showed me this library book of this fantastic ballet program in New York City where they do just this. It's an inclusion of kids with special needs, and they're dancing on the ballet stage. And I said, "Well, I have seen this. I've seen this program, but, you know, it's one of those things that you decide that's not going to happen for us. And, you know, I know Addie may not ever live independently. I know she won't go to college. You know, she won't go to prom. But we could do this." And when that door opened, I really didn't expect it to be a double wide door. I honestly, when it happened, it was magic. It was Cinderella.
Well, that's amazing, and it's a bit shocking that a pediatrician would say something like that.
It limited my brain for 10 years,
yeah.
My brain, and I limited Addie's brain for 10 years. So when that door opened, she learned a new word. She learned ballet. And the minute, Caroline will tell you, the minute the music comes on, Addie's hands, Addie who has, she has such severe sensory issues in her hands that she doesn't hold a cup or a fork. She'll rarely hold your hand. She doesn't tolerate any touch on her hands. But when that music comes on, her hands come up. Her little ballet fingers are there. She extends her body to the edge of her seat, and she finds the floor with her toes.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Did you have a comment? No. You know.
And she loves. And she loves.
And it's
it.
Exciting.
And she lights up from inside.
You know, what's interesting is the power, again, of beliefs. And this was a question I was going to ask. It's very obvious how emotionally it impacts the parents, the kids, the world. Mm-hmm. But it also, I think, Kathy, as you were describing this, it seems to have some type of healing on the physical, too. Is that right?
Oh, well, the music alone taps. You know, Addie's issue is her brain. There's a large part of her brain that's atrophied. We're not going to recapture that. So we're working with what she's got. But music has a particular... It's like somebody has plugged her in. It goes mm-hmm. right from her toes mm-hmm. up to her brain and back down again. So if it's creating synapses that I'm not aware of, I really do believe that. And
mm-hmm.
A day after ballet, she's different. She's just different. She's better put together.
Do you notice a change when she knows she's going to rehearsal?
If she knows that Monday after school, Addie goes to school, Paradise Valley School District, so she knows that when she comes home on Monday afternoon, we have to put on the leotard, which is a trick. Putting on tights and leotard on Addie is a trick. But she knows there's, when that pink leotard is laying on the bed, she knows, oh, we're going to ballet. So we can't get there fast enough. We can't get in the car fast enough. Yeah.
So, Caroline, tell us more about Addie. I mean, and there's probably other kids similar to what she experiences, but tell us what that means to you.
It's incredible. It's incredible. But like everyone knows, it's not – I feel so privileged to work with these children. It's my passion. They're my love. I can't wait for the next rehearsal.
That is incredible. You know, it's truly amazing. Most people, I believe, in the world never find their passion. They aren't looking for their passion. I think probably everyone would like to unconsciously know what their passion is. Tom, you going to chime in on this?
Oh, yeah, I have to, because you mentioned that word passion, and it reminds me of vision, and I was thinking about that. And, Carol, you and your wonderful children and family have been there along the way here. Caroline's got this vision, and she's going to make it happen. Whether any of us or all of us or everybody jumps in, she's got it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen. And she wakes up in the middle of the night thinking about Addie and stuff like that. And I want to get to practice. And I've been around vision and leadership and all that my whole life. But she's so passionate about what she's going to do. It's like lead, follow, or get out of the way. Well, she's so inspired. Because she gets all that energy she gives out. It just keeps coming and coming. But this is going to get done, this community and you know, the voice coming out and all that. I mean, I get to see it all the time. And
I'm a better parent after ballet.
Is that right?
I am, too. Absolutely. And I'm excited and happy. And it's noticed by the people that see me every day, because my mother said after the first rehearsal, she said, I haven't heard you in your voice be this excited in 23 years. So I walk around that excited about all of this.
So it ignites something within you, too.
Yes, it does. It gives. It must bring out the strength and the what that I knew I had, yes. But nobody would let me live it until now. And somebody's acknowledging that I have that strength, and so do my girls, and they're letting me throw it out there, and it's catchy, because I then want to go tell everybody who has their special needs child, mm-hmm. Please come see this. Please, your child can do this. I'm telling you, come see this. It's going to grow and spread like wildfire. Mm-hmm.
But what is so powerful is we have these three wonderful moms here who have older children with special needs. What a wonderful place it would be if these young mommies who their little one is being born just today, or they have these babies. What these moms can do,
you know, when
to bring them and hold them. Yes.
Because we don't know, when you're a new mom, and you have the doctor in the NICU or the developmental pediatrician at a year old tell you that, well, yeah, of course, your kid's going to have blah, blah, and there's very little compassion. It changes your world, and you have to come to terms with it, and you have to figure out what that means for you. And, you know, I was very fortunate because I'm very stubborn, and so I knew that it didn't change a thing for me. Mm-hmm. I was still the mom. It was still my job to make sure Benjamin and Mason reached their full potential, whatever that was, and that I just had to be their cheerleader and make it happen, knock people out of the way who stood in their way. But when you're a first-time mom or a new mom, and this precious child is handed to you, you don't know how to navigate the waters, and you don't even know how to find what you need. What we want to do is to say, this is what you need. You know, my husband, and I've said this many times to Caroline, but I have boys. It's my boys that have special needs. And so my husband would drive all the way around the city rather than take the shortest route to work for the first 3 years of my boy's life, because he had to drive by a little league field if he took the shortest route to work. And it grieved his heart to drive by that little league field. We want mommies who are so thinking their little girls will never wear tutus and pink ballet slippers to know that that's not true. Mm-hmm. Caroline's going to knock down that door for them, and they do not have to grieve that dream. She's going to make it come true, and she's going to show the world how amazingly beautiful these gifted children are.
So, Caroline, do you think this is an education process, maybe going to hospitals, you know, the medical organizations? I know that could be challenging, I bet.
Right.
However, it sounds like we're going to take a quick break, but I'm going to ask that question when we come back, because it sounds like if people knew mm-hmm. what's out there, it might change the thinking of doctors also on what is possible. And we'll come right back after these words.
At Beerham Baum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerham Baum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is The Boss and the Ballerina every fourth Monday. Tom is the boss, and let me ask, Caroline, is he the boss?
No, Dave.
I didn't think so. I love it.
Glad he's not listening.
Hello. Yeah. Take two.
Yeah.
Oh, that's television.
I'm not sure you heard the question, and where you're going to have to listen to the rebroadcast. Okay. Anyway, we were talking this. Well, actually, off the air, this is a very powerful show, in a way that's very heartfelt. And I was, Caroline, talking to you about the education process. You know, sometimes people just don't know until they know. Like all three of the moms here, right? You weren't quite sure. You didn't know. You know, the cultural beliefs, the power of doctors too. When they say something, they're sort of a position of authority very often. So, but you were starting to talk about new moms or, mm-hmm. or moms in general that
right.
have new babies, and what a blessing it would be if they knew beforehand that they're. There's a whole assortment of possibilities. And is that just an education process? Do you have any plans for that to maybe go into educate, you know, through hospitals, doctors, and say, hey, you know, there's a program here that very well could heal emotionally as well as, you know, you're not a doctor, right. but mm-hmm. it does have impact on the physical too.
Well, I think the friendship of the moms is what's so important. And we've just seen at our rehearsals, moms sitting sewing little mouse ears and talking to each other and feeling comfortable now that they can share things that are going on in their lives that we had no idea were happening. And they're developing this wonderful network of friends that get it. You don't have to explain to your friend. When they get it from their heart, and the mummies with the little girlies with the and the boys as well, we have an equal amount of boys involved in our production as girls, and to bring these parents on board and say, come be with us, or if one of the mums needs to go to a movie or something, she now has a friend she can completely trust with her child. Mm. That she could potentially, or even watch at one of the shows. We're doing two productions. We insist the moms watch at least one. And she knows now, backstage is a mom literally waiting to hold her child, to hold this precious child.
So incredible connections mm-hmm. are developed. Let's ask Kathy, what type of connections have you experienced?
Well, in our smaller community, For instance, yesterday, Addie and I went down to Ollie Cakes at Urban Cookies down 7th downtown, and she loves to get their vegan banana cupcake. So that was our purpose. We got a vegan banana cupcake. I got one, too. And
was that good?
The tomato. There's a tomato soup one. It's pretty
good.
But it's not so much about the cupcake. And it's not even because Addie can't even walk in and verbalize, I want that one. I already know what she wants. That's what we get. This is our little place to go. And yet the folks behind the counter know us. They know that this is our place to go. So the interaction is light. And he said, we haven't seen you in a while. And I said, yeah, well, we've been kind of busy with this ballet thing. And he said, oh, I remember that. He said, how's that going? And when is that? And I said, well, it's coming up in October on the 8th. I should drop off a brochure for you. And he said, oh, that'd be great. We could pin it up so people could see. And I said, oh, that'd be great. And then he said, is there some way that we can contribute to that?
See, that's awesome because it does show people care. And I think especially since I think you visited that place quite often, it makes things more real too, wouldn't you say?
They have their life behind the wall where they're making stuff and that we're not a part of, and then we drive away with their cupcakes and go eat them, and that's part of our life that they're not a part of. So our interaction is in the lobby of their little place, and this is remarkable because they're part of our community now. I can't get rid of them.
See, that's awesome. I think once people understand, I think it does create a connection, it sounds like to me. Is that right, Tom?
Yeah, and I think it's, one of the mantras of the group is learn, share, and grow. And this is taking on part of the vision, a life of its own, as far as how educational it is, how therapeutic it is. What are we learning? Are we learning as parents? Are we learning as friends? The typical children are learning so much. Everybody. It's like light or miracles are bouncing back and forth, whether they're surrounded by cookie stores, which I like that, where there's cookies or wherever.
Yeah, I have friends in my midwifery circles that purchased a gigantic ad in the program.
Yes, for Eddie.
Wow.
Somebody I had never even met, and she called me and said, we'd like to buy a $100 ad. She bought a half-page ad.
So tell us more. Caroline, how does that work? When people, it's evidently some type of fundraiser, I suspect.
And yes.
So what happens when you buy an ad? Is it for businesses, or you can put an ad with anything you want in? Is it in the program? Is that how it works?
Yes, it is, Dave. We have a program for the program. And what it is, it starts at $25 for a business card. And then the prices increase $200 for a full page. That's an 8.5 by 11. If you'd like to be on the back page of our program, it's $450. And so we are looking for businesses to help us to raise funds for what we're trying to do. And by taking out ads in our program, it lets our community know about the businesses out there who care about this kind of program. And it gives those businesses great visibility. And like for Addie, they actually personalize their ads for her, which is amazing. So if businesses know any of our cast, they can do that. And the moms and dads are going out right now trying to collect ads for the program so that we can do this, because we do need funding. We need donors and we need champions to help us.
Is it limited to how many ads you can have, or
no,
the program
no.
can as be big
be
as you
as
want?
As big as we want. As big, yes, a huge program would be amazing.
And how do they get in touch with you?
They can call me directly at 602-502-2743, or they can email us at Caroline, Caroline, at BalletAcademyOfArizona.org, and that's all written out. And we'll get straight back to you.
So that's very, very important.
Yes, it is.
To get funding, because it's – I mean, listening to all the stories today, it's just not only the right thing to do, it's absolutely necessary
it is.
To do this.
Yeah, and I think the timing's perfect. There's so many special needs families that are out there, and to have a performing arts organization where they can all get to know each other and rally around and peer-to-peer conversation about what we're doing right or wrong. I mean, it's not out there, and as Caroline's forming this whole thing and it's evolving, it's like, hey, this is amazing. I mean, we met with the city this week, and they thought we were down there asking for money, and Caroline's here. No. We're trying to align some of the resources that you have out here. We know you don't have money. We live in Phoenix. We know you don't have money and you're limited staff. What we're trying to do is, who do you know here? Who do you know there? Mm-hmm. And we want to bring them all together and get them collaborating so that we can better serve the families.
This has stitched together different parts of our lives. You know, my husband's work, our families, our extended families. It's kind of drawn their interest again. The people who get tired of hearing about the day-to-day struggles of having a kid with physical therapies and occupational therapies, and those things get mundane and the stories get old. And your triumphs get fewer and far between. So,
and you were talking about getting it into the education.
Yeah.
I was very happy that I connected Caroline and the director of the special needs school where my children attended for 16 years, because I think, and she's very interested. We talk about it a lot. And I think this is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And those children start at age 6. So
exactly.
And physical movement is a huge part of the program, because most of the kids, when they enter, that's about all they can do is little movement. So we want to encourage that kind mm-hmm. of thing, because it stimulates everything else.
It does. And we're looking for a home, really, Dave, to be, because we did rent space from a ballet studio, and very graciously, I will do a shout out to Master Ballet Academy. But when we started the Cinderella program and all these children came to us, we couldn't be there any longer, because when we arrive with our wheelchairs and our walking sticks, our power sticks, and autistic children and children who are spinning, we need to find a home where we can be. So that is why one of the reasons Tom mentioned we did go and meet with the city is, yes, we know there is no money available, but does anyone have a place where we can be? A studio where we can do this, you know?
So describe what that would look like. So when a listener hears that, maybe they know someone.
Right.
How big and location, perhaps? What would be needed in a studio? Why don't you describe that?
It really, all we need is an empty space. I actually have a whole studio in storage. So I have mirrors, bars, pictures, everything. We need about an 1,800 square foot empty room. And if we can eventually have a wooden floor there, we would be overjoyed. But if it's just concrete or carpet, and a place where we can be, where we can do this. And we also need a waiting room for the parents, where they can be together, where all our children are welcome when they arrive. And it's so that is what we're looking for as well. Because we know there's not a lot of money out there, but there are facilities and resources.
There's a lot of facilities out mm-hmm. there right now.
And actually, there's a much nicer one I see in my mind, and it's probably in Scottsdale, and it's a nice green area, and there's uh-huh. waterfalls outside.
Oh, my goodness.
So again, no limiting thoughts. But no, there are a lot of places that are out there, and there's a lot of vacancies.
And we're going to take a quick break now. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with the boss and the ballerina. This is very, very inspirational. We'll be right back.